Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our outstanding producer on the board. It is 6 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, the 25th of March, 2024. Back to school, back to work. And on a Monday, here we have it, ladies and gentlemen, a very special edition of Tuesday Tangents with Luke. On a Monday, our very own Luke Mathers, our chief executive. Oh, no,
he is our
executive producer here at Civic Media. Luke, thank you. We have another person coming in tomorrow. More of that later. But you were so kind as to move your very busy schedule around to join us right off the top of the show at the start of the week. How are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. How about yourself? How's your weekend?
Always happy to start it off with you. It was good. Got a little baseball. Watched some basketball over the weekend.
There was a lot of basketball going on over the weekend. Come on, man. You only watched a little?
I mean, and you're the Badger alum. I'm an alum of Platteville, but not a great week for Badger athletics weekend.
No, it could have been better. Could have been better. I was watching the national title game for the women's hockey yesterday too, and that was it was disappointing. They played very, very tough through three periods, and it was right at the end there.
Yeah, 7 minutes I think right left in the game.
That sounds correct. Yes.
Anyway, the Badger women's hockey, who are now have won seven national championships. No one's won more, and Coach Mark Johnson got back to another Final Four, mm-hmm. a Frozen Four.
Got back to another title game.
Title game against number one, Ohio State. The Badgers were ranked number two this year. Of course, the Badgers beat Ohio State last year for the title.
For the title. It was a rematch, and...
Just correcting a little error, it is the Ohio State.
Oh, good Lord. All right.
Okay, yeah, right. I know.
I mean, girl Buckeye.
I hate it too.
Get out of here. But why'd you insert it? You didn't need to do that.
You're right.
But to your point, Luke, it was a great, great game.
Yeah, no, it was a very good game. It was hard fought. It looked like it was going to be going into extra time or a shootout potentially. There's the way how well it matched the two teams are. Ohio State and Wisconsin, the women's hockey programs, played each other. I believe that was their sixth time playing this season, and that's just wild. So the Buckeyes did get the upper hand. They ended up winning 4 out of the 6 games between the two teams. But the two before yesterday's game, Wisconsin had it taken care of. So I was hoping they could even it for the year and take home back-to-back national titles, but unfortunately, a runner-up this season.
But hey, hats off to Mark Johnson and the Lady Badgers.
They played tremendously. They did a great job. From puck drop all the way through the end, which I don't know if we could necessarily say the same for the men's basketball team on Friday night, because they looked like they got punched in the face right off from the tip off, and Badgers did not do so hot.
I'd like to quote my 7th grade social studies teacher at Richland Middle School, Ken Lewis.
Okay.
The play of the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team this weekend. Sad, bad, not glad.
I went out to a fish fry with some friends, and we watched the game afterwards, and you could tell right from the tip that James Madison brought the intensity, and the Badgers were not prepared to match it, upsetting.
Exactly. I was watching the game with the family Klein, my good friends Jonathan, Allison, and their son Parker, who is a 7th grade basketball player himself. And we were all just, I said, what it looks like is that James Madison, they all went and beat their heads against a cinder wall right before they went out.
They were listening to some very heavy metal rock or something, just get really amped, and they came out there. And for the most part, there were no foul calls off the start. It looked like they were just going to let them play rough, and then it started deviate from that later on in the game. But the Badgers just not able to match that intensity, and... It was not a good game. It was not a good appearance for their time back to the big dance after missing the tournament last season. So.
I mean, to your point, it looked the opening 5 minutes looked like a cage match.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't a basketball game. James Madison was. I mean, they weren't, but I mean, almost throwing punches.
Yeah, I thought they brought the intensity.
Well, yes, but I also thought I'm not going to blame it all on officiating, but I thought, my God, are they just going to let these guys complete? I mean, there's no fouls at all.
The Badgers just didn't have a response, though. Even if, like, you got to play what the whistle's gonna do, so you got to play through it. And from then on, the Badgers just, I think, season high turnovers.
Yeah,
in the game,
19, I think. Yeah, something like that.
They said before half they had what they averaged for turnovers in a total game. So it was just they didn't come. They looked very sloppy. They didn't come prepared to match that intensity. And there's always next year for the big dance for them.
Well, we hope so. I mean, there's already today, or last night, actually, Connor Sejan, who had said as recently as a couple of years ago, he was going to stick around.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah.
A couple weeks. Thank you. He announced last night that he was in the transfer portal. Fan favorite, Connor Sejan, has a great three-point shot. Of course, lost his starting position to A.J. Storr this year and spent a lot of the time on the bench, allegedly, because he just didn't have his defense together. I don't think you could blame Connor Sejan. He's a stand-up guy. He stayed engaged. But I was talking to you about this earlier. I think somebody, whether it was an NIL agent or his parents, somebody got to him and coached him and said early on, look, this sucks sitting on the bench, but be the best teammate you can. Be the most positive. Be engaged with the fans, because this will set you up for after this season. Agree or disagree, Luke?
No, I agree. And so Connor had a breakout season last year. It's unfortunate that, you know, as a roster goes, you have to be competitive with the other players that come into the team. He missed out on a starting role for almost all of this season, if not the entire. I think he might have started one game.
Something like that.
One or two. But yeah, I think he's going to be able to contribute to whichever program he goes to next. I'm just hoping it's not a Big Ten rival.
Yeah, me too. Wouldn't that just be typical? But we'll see. Badger men's hockey got a number 2 seed, I believe, in the men's NCAA final or hockey tournament. They're going to take on the defending national champion in the opening game. So we'll see. But good luck to them.
And that's Friday night.
That's Friday night coming up. And speaking of Friday night, in back to basketball quickly, Marquette, your Golden Eagles, for those of you listening, well, around the state, but particularly on the Shaw, WAUK, and Waukesha, Milwaukee area, had a good weekend. They got the win over Western Kentucky, and then a hard-fought game in the second round over Colorado, and they move on. They will take on NC State on Friday at 6:09 tip-off time on CBS.
Yeah, should be a good one. I'm not going to say go Eagles because I'm a Wisconsin boy, but wish them the best.
It's a Wisconsin. I mean, they're in the state of Wisconsin, yeah, so I mean, look.
I don't disagree with that statement.
and by the way, Luke and I were talking about this. Usually I fill out an entire bracket. It's been a little busy in Todd's life, so I did what Tom Oates, former Wisconsin State Journal sports writer, suggested in his podcast with Mike Lucas, which is start with your Final Four this year.
See, it seems like cheating to me, but hey, if it works.
But I did.
Works.
I did it, and I have UConn.
And you filled out about 30% of a bracket.
I have UConn, Arizona, Tennessee, and Marquette in the Final Four, with UConn over Tennessee in the championship game. All my Final Four teams are still alive.
That is correct. Yeah, when you pick 1 and 2 seeds to be your Final Four, you got a pretty good odds if you don't fill out the whole bracket.
Usually I go with my heart and I take Wisconsin deep. I had Wisconsin taking on Marquette in the Elite Eight this year.
Yeah, and that's maybe one of those teams will get there, but one of them's definitely not.
One of them is definitely not. So I hope your brackets are doing well if you're playing an office pool or what have you. But your Sweet 16 is this: UConn, defending national champion, taking on Big Ten team Northwestern in one of the games in the what is that regional there? I think it's the East. I'm not sure. But also Illinois taking on Iowa State. They are still alive as well. By the way, Parker, the 7th grader, has Iowa State winning it all.
That's not a bad pick.
Not a bad pick at all. Not a bad pick. North Carolina will take on Alabama. Also, Clemson takes on Arizona. It'll be Creighton taking on Tennessee, and Purdue and Gonzaga. And then in the other game, it is Houston and Duke. Duke looked pretty tough as well against James Madison.
I think James Madison just lost all the gas in the tank after beating up on the Badgers. That's what they came. They came for one win, and they exited the tournament.
Yes, such is life. Turning to
Mr. Zommers ranks 11 right now, too, I believe, in the Civic Media poll.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. I have UConn winning it all.
Well, there you go. So do I. There you go. Who do you have yours in yours?
I didn't fill out a bracket. Oh. I'm also very busy at this time of year. So I did not get to one.
Right. My strategy for filling out the bracket was a little different from Todd's. So Todd started with the final four and then worked most of his way back. And I picked randomly.
Like a dartboard or what?
Coin toss 50-50?
Not entirely random. I mean, I picked based on vibes of the names, such as anytime there was a school in Utah, I made them lose. stuff like that.
Right. I have a buddy that apparently there's a lot of Catholic universities in the tournament this year. So he had a bracket that was comprised of all Catholic universities winning to the end. And I think that's how he has Marquette winning the whole
thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's how he decided to go about it. So it was whatever does it for you to fill out a bracket. I mean, to each their own.
Did the Pope fill out a bracket like Obama did and Biden did?
I doubt the Pope does, but...
But I mean, if he did, I mean, whoever the Pope picks to win, I mean...
Is he picking favorites then?
Well, of course he is. I'm sure he's got Marquette in the finals. Luke, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this. Well, let's start it out. Big news today on the legal front and with the Trumpster as well. It's kind of a yin and a yang, if you will. speaking of that, let's go right to the Stormy Daniels case, which the judge said today... He is not going to allow Trump to delay this anymore. The Stormy Daniels case, the hush money case, is going to start on April 15th.
See, I think we're talking about it wrong already when we're talking about hush money. But yeah, it sounds like there's not going to be any further delays. It's going to be interesting. And I think the way that we discuss this case, I think, is we're hearing you see a lot of people referring to it as paying money to a porn star and all of those things. Mm-hmm. Really what it was voter deception. It was the first in a line of voter deception that Donald Trump has done since being a candidate in 2016. And he paid that money so that voters in October of 2016 did not find out about that case. And so, I mean, it's a huge, huge aspect. We're going to find out a lot more details, I think, as the trial goes on. But it's not just about hush money. It's about deceiving voters and preventing voters from having all of the information that they should have had available to them back in the election of 2016.
And that really used campaign finances to pay this,
yes.
which is also the crux of the legal thing on this.
Right. But again, the crux is he deceived voters using campaign funds to do it too.
Not particularly new for the old Trumpster. We'll come back and talk more with Luke on the other side. Don't go to where it's the Town Hall Ball Show for a Monday, Tuesday Tangents with Luke and Aaron and Todd on the Civic Media Ready Network. The Todd Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon on a Monday, March 25th. Zomer is on the board joining us for Tuesday Tangents with Luke on a Monday because Todd has recombobulated his schedule, to use a Dan Schaefer phrase.
Yeah, shuffling up the bookings.
Yeah, thank you for Luke Mathers, our executive producer, is here on a Monday. We appreciate him being here as always. Luke, the other big Trump case, breaking news today, according to the Associated Press, New York Court of Appeals today agreed to hold off collection of former President Trump's more than $454 million civil fraud judgment if he puts up $175 million within 10 days. If he does, it will stop the clock on collection and prevent the state from seizing the presumptive Republican presidential nominee's assets while he appeals. The appeals court also reversed other aspects of a trial judge's ruling that had barred Trump and sons Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr. from serving in corporate leadership for several years.
Yeah. I don't understand. This is a pretty sweet deal, I guess.
I think so, too.
Appeal. A very friendly ruling for the former president. I mean, he was clearly having a hard time coming up with the $454 million. I'm curious to know if he's going to struggle. What is it?
175.
Yep. I have a feeling he's still going to struggle to find that.
Me too.
So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, I guess, over the next 10 days. But it's, if you tell everybody you're a billionaire and then you have a hard time coming up when the rubber hits the road and you actually have to prove your wealth and you can't do it, I think that's pretty interesting. I mean, the fact that he is getting this leniency on appeal is got to be really frustrating for a lot of Americans out there that are like, hey, when I am having to pay up and bills are coming due or whatever it may be, you don't get a 10-day extension.
No.
And so for the former president who lied and overinflated his assets to the state of New York, very similar to how he lied and covered up that affair by using campaign, like, it is a trend that we see with the former president. And the fact that he's got a much smaller bond that he needs to post now over the next 10 days as this works through the legal system is, I believe, in due process. Everybody has their day in court. But it seems like this is a ability for well-off individuals, wealthy men, that get to have this kind of leniency when they're in the judicial system rather than what most standard Americans can tend to expect when it comes to how the system works for them.
I think you nailed it on the head. If this were you or I or any of our listeners in the same situation, would we get this kind of deference?
If I bragged about how much money I could pay in parking tickets, but then when my parking tickets came due, I was having a hard time finding the money to pay for the parking tickets, the parking authority wouldn't just be like, all right, listen, we'll knock down the cost a little bit and then just get us it in the next 10 days. We'll give you another 10-day window. That's not how it works.
I can tell you from practical experience that's not how it works in Green Bay. That much I can tell you for sure.
It's exactly. So it's definitely we do tend to have a two-tier system of justice and wealthy individuals like the former president claims to be, we still don't know that because he's having a hard time coming up with the money. The system works differently for folks like that.
Andrew from Maine texting in. Remember, you can text on the Civic Media app. You can download it to your Apple or Android device. Just go to your app store, type in Civic. It'll pop up. Takes less than a minute, and it is free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. Or at least that's what she says about the CBS app. On the Civic Media app, Andrew texting in on the Shaw, WAUK. Also, if you're having trouble paying bills, just file the paperwork to run for office and use this precedent to demand leniency.
I don't know if it works that way, Andrew. It's going to work for some individuals like that, but it's not going to work for all of us. So I would not recommend that as advice to avoiding paying your bills.
No, I would not either.
But you can also download the Civic Media app and participate in an excellent contest that we've got going on this week. For the rest of the week, you still can download the Civic Media app and participate. What can listeners know more about the Ride into Spring event?
Next hour, Luke. Thank you so very much for asking. In the 1 o'clock hour, our Ride into Spring contest continues. We'll be giving you a secret password, and you text that in only on the Civic Media app, and you too could win wonderful, fabulous prizes, such as an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort, Wisconsin Dells, a couple of bikes, and outdoor patio furniture, and a three-way blender.
A three-in-one blender.
Oh, three-in-one blender. I'm sorry about that. But think about that. It's fantastic to have a patio furniture and a three-way blender. That's the kind of summer party you want. And we had a meeting earlier, and apparently, this is fantastic to all our listeners, by the way. Apparently, we won last week. There's no prize for this for the
not
host.
Not win, just like...
We got the most people to text in during our show, and our CEO said, I'm not sure how you're doing it, and I wanted to say it's the blender. It's all in the blender. That's why people are texting in.
It's Todd's texters. There you go.
That's right. And we'll talk about this in hour two, but Mom had some questions over the weekend about this, and we'll go through all that. Yes, you can win
an
hour
to stay
number
tuned
two.
And listen.
Yes, hour number 1 o'clock hour. Luke, before we let you go, big news actually broke during this program. We did a little special report last week in the 1:30 hour. Congressman Mike Gallagher, Republican from Green Bay in the 8th Congressional District, had already announced he's going to not run for re-election. On Friday, news broke that Gallagher is going to actually resign, leave his seat, effective April 19th. And the date on this is very important because in Wisconsin, according to statute, if you resign after, or there's a vacancy after the second Tuesday in April in an election year, there can be no special election to fill that seat and give somebody else 3 or 4 months of incumbency.
Yeah, I had a feeling when the announcement came down on Friday that that was going to be the case because it was a very particular date. It was the, the end of a week, a couple, like it's not effective immediately. It's not before the April primary that's going to be taking, or excuse me, the April general that's going to be taking place next week. And so, yeah, it was an interesting timing. A lot of people started looking at what those statutes are. And yes, there's a Northeastern Wisconsin, the 8th congressional district, is going to go unrepresented until January. Next year.
Yeah. But I actually think, and we're going to talk about this more a little bit later, but I actually think that, Gallagher, Ken Buck in Colorado, and there are rumors now, reports that from the state of Texas, there's a congresswoman, chair of the budget committee, she's thinking about doing the same thing. I think that Hakeem Jeffrey and the Democrats have a realistic shot of taking control of the House this year.
Really? Yeah. All right. It's going to be interesting.
I think Gallagher did this for the same reason that Ken Buck did in Colorado. Ken Buck reportedly did it to time it out so that the Democratic governor could call a special election. But because Lauren Boebert already is in Congress in a separate district, you can't be a member and run for another seat. So what it did, the timing with Ken Buck, it prevented Lauren Boebert from being an incumbent in that new seat.
Yeah.
It basically almost assures, because she is running like fifth in this race, it almost assures to keep Lauren Boebert out of Congress. I think there's something afoot, and I think Hakeem Jeffries will be Speaker of the House before the end of the year.
Wow. You heard it here first, folks.
We'll see. Luke Mathers, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for making time for us, my friend.
Always glad to join you on a Tuesday.
More conversation on the other side on a Monday. It's the All Balls Show along with Zommers on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for taking us along on your lunch hour. If you're taking a walk, a little bit damp here in the capital city, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, but warming up a little bit. I know some places around the state got several inches of snow, particularly up north. Over this weekend, or at least north central Wisconsin in certain places. So it's going to melt relatively soon. Continue to talk about the resignation of the upcoming resignation of Congressman Mike Gallagher, Republican of the Green Bay area in the 8th congressional district. He already said that he was going to not run for re-election, but now last Friday during this program, we broke the news for you. He said that he's going to resign from Congress early. Key date, the 19th of April. It's important because had he resigned effective this week, then Governor Evers could have called for a special election, which meant that someone could have been elected the new congressperson by the middle of summer-ish, which would have given them 2 to 3 months of incumbency to run for the same seat for the entire 2-year period. So basically, doing what Gallagher did, it allowed the Democrats to have an even playing field, because chances are either Andre Jock or Roth up there, Roth, a former state senator in the area, Jock, a current state assembly person, probably would have won because they have higher name ID. They're already there. They're already established in that district. But what Gallagher did is he left it a level playing field for Democrats to have a shot at this seat in November. Kind of the same thing that Ken Buck did, Republican congressman in Colorado. The timing was very specific. And in that one, Buck made sure that the Democratic governor could have a special election to ice Lauren Boebert out of that special election because she already holds a seat in Colorado in a different district. She's been redrawn and is going to run in the new district this fall. But because she's currently a congressperson, she can't run in the special. And now it comes word over the weekend in the Texas Tribune, U.S. Representative Kay Granger to step down from powerful House Appropriations leadership position. According to the Texas Tribune, Representative Kathy Granger of Fort Worth will step down early as chair of the influential House Appropriations Committee, she announced on Friday. The chairman is one of the most powerful positions held by a Texan in Congress. The Appropriations Committee sets funding levels every year for a host of government programs. Granger has been the top Republican on the committee since 2019. I will tell you, as someone who worked for a member of Congress, this is not normal. House Appropriations Chair is one of the most coveted positions in Congress. And to step down midterm in an election year, highly unusual. And now there are, we'll call them rumors, reports, that Kathy Granger may be the third Republican to resign from Congress, which, after Gallagher resigns on the 19th of April, it will leave Republicans and Speaker Mike Johnson with a one-vote majority. All it takes is one Republican to say, whoops, I didn't make it back from the bathroom in time for that vote. Or one Republican to simply vote present. And if Marjorie Taylor Greene moves forward in calling for a vote on the speakership in 2 weeks, it could, keyword could, hand Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats the majority. All kinds of rampant social media speculation over the weekend. Again, this may be part of a larger plan to prevent Mike Johnson from being speaker between that critical period between November and January 3rd. Love to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go down to beautiful Sussex and Gary listening in Sussex. Gary, thanks for holding. Thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, you know, Todd, you've got such high hopes of everything. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket because I think that I might win $1.5 billion, you know?
It can't hurt.
Yeah, I know. You're all excited and everything. Well, you know, there's Congress, especially in Washington, obviously. It's a swamp. You know it. I know it. It's what goes on is so underhanded. I could never be in politics because I'm more ethical. There was a survey that they said that they asked Democrats and Republicans, and this was on Fox, so I don't know if it was tainted anyway or not. They said, if you knew for sure you could cheat and do all sorts of things to get in power, what percentage of Republicans would do it? And it was like 31% of Republicans would cheat and double vote and everything else. And I think it was 79% of Democrats would cheat, vote twice or three times or whatever. So with Mike Gallagher resigning and making an even playing field, that shows a lot of character. I don't think that you guys are going to take his seat, but that does show a lot of character for him. Now, as far as going back to Donald Trump, the more he's prosecuted, the more stuff that the Democrats come up with to try to disrupt his chance for running an election and having the time to do it and stuff like that is just getting everybody more mad. And so if you guys pray that he has to pay $445 million and $80 million to Stormy Daniels and all that sort of stuff, if he's going to get stuck paying that, it's just going to irritate more Republicans to get out there and vote, more independents completely going against the Democrats. It's going to guarantee Donald Trump to win. So you guys, if you guys are, I'm not talking about you, and this is only my opinion.
Sure.
Todd, if you guys want to win this election, you got to just call off the dogs. If you don't, you're going to lose. You're going to lose, and you're going to lose big. And when they vote, they're going to vote Republican for senators and congressmen and everybody else. You know, it's going to be a landslide. That's my opinion, Todd.
Sure. I wanted to give you time to get your, because I always appreciate your perspective. I want to ask you a couple of questions. I want to get your perspective on it. You've talked to this show openly about being a small business owner. And I mean, don't you think on the, you know, whether someone is what they do when, you know, when nobody's looking, character, that sort of thing. I mean, you see that, right? In your own profession. I mean, there are people out there in the world that are going to try to cheat and get away with anything. And then there are people that, you know, have real character and do what counts when nobody's looking. And, you know, I used to tell people when I worked at the state capitol and out in D.C., people would say, don't you see a lot of corruption, to your point about being swamped? And I'd say, you know what? Actually not, on both sides. Like people generally don't go into elective office as corrupt people. I said, it's not the corruption that would surprise you. It's the incompetence. You know, how many people get elected and then their staff does all the work? They don't actually know what's going on. So to me, I think it's a question not so much about corruption in government. I think it's incompetence in government that I think that people will be surprised about. But I guess getting back to the Trump stuff, I'll give you a chance on that. Don't you think that's just human nature? That I'm not sure that the numbers you threw out, I mean, I can't debate those. I don't know where they came from. But don't you think that it just comes down to the person? Are you somebody of character? Or are you somebody of not character? You don't have character. You see it in politics and business, right?
Yeah, I think most people have character. And as far as I'm concerned, I was surprised even 31% of Republicans would cheat and vote twice or whatever they have to do to get their guy elected. Because to me, it's more important that people do have a right to vote. And, when they have the photo ID, to me, I would say that 98% of the people in this country believe that photo ID is a good thing because you want the right person to go out there and vote. It's like you'd like to get rid of it because the Democrats want to get rid of it because they think it keeps people in the inner cities from voting. But the fact is, you want the people in the inner cities to vote legally. And I'm sure that you agree with that. And in business, because of my business, I just came from a job right now and I gave the guy a price. And he said, is this the best price you can give me? And I said, well, absolutely. It was like a $25,000 job. Mm-hmm. And he went out there and he told me, he said, look, I'm going to shop around. And I tell him, absolutely, 100% shop around. I didn't try to tell him not to,
right?
Because I know that my pricing is very fair and he's going to get the best work for me. So
right.
Very ethical.
I'm sure you are, Gary. I've never doubted that. Yeah, before I let you go, I got to get to other callers. Before I let you go, to your point, I mean, how many times, I mean, I was a small business person too. And how many times as small business people do we think to ourselves, boy, if I did that in my business, I'd be in jail. And you know, I mean, aren't we as small business people just sick of certain individuals getting favoritism? And so that's all I've ever said, whether it's Trump, whether it's Hunter Biden, whoever it is, I said, I just want the law to be applied correctly and fairly, and whatever happens, happens. And I think that's what's happened here with Trump, is the law has been applied. He was found guilty of fraud, and this penalty has come down, and he's working his way through the justice system. I don't understand how that's treating someone unfairly when the law is applied.
But it is, because I think it was the judge was stacked, the prosecutor was stacked against him. The thing is, there's not one person that came to court and testified, yeah, because what he did, my bank lost $10 million or this or that. They are just coming after him and for nothing. And when he appeals this decision, he's going to win. Absolutely.
Maybe.
And the thing with Stormy Daniels,
he might.
Look, Stormy Daniels is a piece of whatever. And Donald Trump is just as bad as she is.
But
okay.
But to Luke Mathers was talking about this. It really doesn't have anything to do with the porn star. It has to do with he committed fraud. He used campaign monies to pay off a personal hush money thing. That's illegal.
Campaign money, or was it personal money out of his pocket? The guy's got billions of dollars.
But apparently he doesn't, because he can't pay this bond. Gary, I gotta let you go, but always always a pleasure, Gary. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Gary from Sussex, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Wisco. Paul, Wisco, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. The bottom line with Gary, and I've listened to his calls a number of times, and I think he knows how I stand on politics. If you're okay with J6 and everything Trump is doing, you've got problems, because you're going to lose democracy. Look at the people in his cabinet, his old cabinet.
Right.
Hardly any of them have ever said a positive thing about Donald Trump. Pence, he's not going to endorse Donald Trump. Donald Trump has no character. And if you're going to vote for him, you're either just a diehard Republican and you can't look at the facts. I don't know. For goodness sakes, you don't have to vote for Biden, I guess. You know, vote for somebody else. But to vote for Trump, in my mind, you lose all credibility. You just lost it. And if you look at the Congress or what's going on there, a lot of those people don't want to have anything to do with Trump and his policies. That's why they're leaving Congress, Gary. Yeah. You know, I mean, is it okay for the Supreme Court to try to take my vote away in this state, except for one? You know, they want to take my vote away. Look what I'm not going to go on a diatribe here. The bottom line is Trump is a bad person. So.
Well, I think to your point, Wisco, when you look at guys like Mike Gallagher, Ken Buck, and now Lisa Murkowski, we're going to play a clip from her. These are not, you know, snowflake liberals. These are conservatives who are saying we can't support this. Well, to your point, Mike Pence. I mean, that should tell people that the people who know trust Trump best. I mean, they say no, we're not going there again. So appreciate the call, Wisco. Thank you so much. When we come back, more calls, as our friend says, when we see you on the lines, do not hang up. If you know who says that, you're going to like our guest tomorrow. More on that in a little bit. Don't go anywhere. It is the Todd Allball Show for a Monday, March 25th, 2024. Back with your calls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Train a coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Little Johnny Cash for you. Johnny Cash, always played by one of our friends in particular. Going to tell you who it is in the next hour. Not going to want to miss it. Big announcement for our guest tomorrow right here. Can't wait. We'll tell you who it is after the top of the hour news. You're not going to want to miss it. Talking about the Trumpster a little bit. In these court cases working their way through the legal system today. Also talked about the fact that Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher of Green Bay announced on Friday that he is going to resign, opening up the timing on this, on Gallagher's announcement. Going to resign on the 19th of April, which means there cannot be, according to Wisconsin statute, a special election this summer to fill that. My opinion, he did it to give Democrats an even playing field. And I think there's something afoot here. And my prediction is that Hakeem Jeffrey and the Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives this year. We'll see. We have Representative Kate Granger, Republican of Fort Worth, stepping down as the House Appropriations Committee chair, something that simply does not happen. She could be the next to resign. Give us a text on the Civic Media app. We're going to have our little contest in the second hour, by the way, off the, whoa, what happened there, Mrs. Umbers? We'll see here.
Yeah, well, just a second.
All right, sorry. Yeah. I looked up at my text line. I can look at my phone. That's no big deal. Off the time, I want to clarify something. Apparently someone, you know, people, this is a good example. We just, you know, need to, you know, pause, reflect, and chill out a little bit. So I was talking about to one of our last callers there, talking about the fact that people like Gallagher or people like Gallagher and Buck, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Mike Pence, all these people saying they can't support Trump. And I said, look, these are not liberal snowflakes here. These are dyed-in-the-wool conservatives. And someone listening says, quoted me and said, snowflake liberals, F you, Todd.
And then it would be great if you could go a week without gratuitous insults against Democrats.
It's not a gratuitous insult. I mean, you have to think about this. This is a good example of people getting their own silos here. What I'm saying is that the right media, other media, is going to say, oh, well, all these people that don't endorse Trump, their words are you know, snowflake socialist liberals, and this isn't Republicans. And so I think it's good to point out that these people that are saying no to Trump, namely Mike Pence, Lisa Murkowski, Mike Gallagher, Ken Buck, they are not this perception of a very left liberal crowd. These are dyed-in-the-wool conservative Republicans.
Right. And so in other words, you are not using it as an insult. You're using it as an anticipation of the argument against what you're saying.
Right.
This is what they're going to say, right. But it's just not true.
Right. People just need to take a breath, chill out. It's not a gratuitous insult. All right. Take a breath. It'll all be fine. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, always appreciate the call. Thanks for holding. What say you?
Yeah, it's a point I've made before is that they're not going after Donald Trump because he's Donald Trump, because they want to go after Donald Trump. They're going after Donald Trump because he committed crimes, that he overvalued his property. And it doesn't matter that no one lost money, as they might have lost. There might be an opportunity cost of money because he probably likely would have got a higher interest rate if he had valued the property at its correct, you know, valuation. Because let's face it, for the one he tripled, you know, it's 10,000 square feet. He said, well, it's 30,000 square feet. Well, anybody who knows basic math knows that that's just a out-and-out lie. Mm-hmm. I mean, why principled conservatives like Gary are willing to overlook the fact that Trump committed these crimes. They're not going after him because he's Donald Trump, and they want to hurt his chances. Donald Trump violated the law. It's like if you run a stop sign, and nobody's around to see you do it, you still ran the stop sign and broke the law. It doesn't matter that nobody was hurt; you still broke the law. I mean, they catch you running through a red light. I mean, that with a traffic camera, well, you know, that an accident didn't happen, so that's okay. You can say that's okay. Well, they catch you with a traffic camera, you get a ticket, you still ran that red light. You still violated what happened there. And, I mean, I just get tired of hearing the excuses, well, and then people are going to forgive that. They think they're going after Donald Trump for this reason. They're going after Donald Trump because these people took an oath to uphold the Constitution and the law, which Donald Trump actually did to uphold the law. And he violated his oath to the Constitution when he permitted the January 6th insurrection to go on for hours and hours and hours when he could have done something about it right away. Mm-hmm. He did not. I mean, just pure and simple is that they're not going after Donald Trump because he's Donald Trump. They're going after Donald Trump in spite of the fact he is Donald Trump. And you need to enforce the law no matter who is doing it. That's what we're supposed to believe in this country.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark, that, I mean, you know, to put it, you do the crime, you do the time, right? And so this isn't like Donald Trump has had his day in court. He continues to have days in court, and he is getting more leniency in terms of allowing delays, allowing things to happen that your average citizen just would not be afforded in the court of law. And I think both the prosecutors and the judges in some of these cases are doing it specifically because he is a former president, specifically because he is the leading candidate for nomination to one of the two major parties, because they don't want to have it be seen or turned over in the Court of Appeals of impropriety as some sort of retribution. He's getting more leniency than you or I ever would, Mark.
And if either one of us, and if Gary, you know, smarted off to the judge if he was getting a traffic citation, and does a quarter of the disparagement that Donald Trump has done against the prosecutors and the judges, you know, outside of court, his butt would be in jail for contempt of court. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Donald Trump remains a free man and continues to disparage, you know, the prosecutors, the judges throughout the country. I mean, it is just that the leniency that he has shown is wrong, I think, that, and, you know, try to avoid it. But Donald Trump is not a king. I mean, kings have found out in the past that they cannot get away with crimes.
Right.
Henry II did it when he got flogged for having Thomas Becket murdered, and that Charles I of England got his head removed because he disparaged Parliament.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I want the, as I said, I want the law to be applied evenly and fairly, and we'll see what happens then. But Mark, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the call. Mark from the SAC, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Again, I believe that a lot of this is being put into play by much larger forces in terms of Congress and what's going to happen. We shall find out. Stay with us on the other side. An announcement of tomorrow's guest. You're not going to want to miss it. He's a Johnny Cash fan. And also, your chance to win a bunch of big prizes in our ride into spring. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tahlo Ball Show on Civic Media.